This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack, you know?
You didn't think you'd hear Minute Maid commercial,
well,
did
because
you?
I thought about it the other day. It's stupid. But do you remember back in the 80s, there's a Minute Maid commercial. Like, it was so the orange juice was so good. It was as if you stuck a straw
into the orange. Yeah, sure. I remember it.
And it popped in my head. And what I do is I use this, what feels like at the time, useless information, and make it work for the show.
Interesting.
Always prepping.
All right, so December 2nd, and we've got two significant, two significant football games for the New York football teams. And I don't think anybody would have taken that bet this year. No one. Not for the Jets, not for the Giants. I mean, we thought the Jets would make improvement. We thought the Giants were going to be terrible. All the experts thought the Giants were going to be terrible. And here they are playing big games. The Giants against the Commanders at Giant Stadium, and the Jets against a stadium that they should actually think about building in Queens, in Minneapolis, against the Vikings. And as I said earlier, I'm not picking either of the games, but each game is at 1 o'clock. I like the Giants, and I think I like the Jets against the Vikings. I'm not as high on the Jets as I am on the Giants, but I think both games could be really entertaining and good.
There's a few things at play here with the Jets. The best unit on the field on Sunday will be the Jets defense. So that gives them a chance in every single game they play. And there's just something that irks me about this Minnesota team. You know, they're even. That point differential tells you that they're closer to average than the best team in football. The record says they're right there with Philadelphia, and this is a team that can go to the Super Bowl. I don't see it that way. They play all their games very competitively. You saw it firsthand when Washington played them. That game could have gone either way. You certainly saw it on Thanksgiving, too, the back and forth with the New England Patriots. So they don't blow anybody out. So if the Jets hang in this game, the way this offense has been clicking with White and the way their defense plays, especially the way they've been turning up the opposition over, I think they've got an excellent chance to win this game in Minnesota.
I think Minnesota might be one of the toughest teams to figure out in the NFL. I mean, the record is good. The point differential is not good. Doesn't manifest itself in the record that they have, but they have a really good young coach. He seems to be getting the most out of Kirk Cousins, but can they do it? Can the Jets, with Reed and with Gardner, cover the great wide receivers that the Vikings have? And then if they do, can they stop Dalvin Cook? So you have a three-pronged attack, really.
I disagree with you on the outcome of this game. In fact, I don't want to tip my hand. I think there's a good chance I'll be rolling with the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh,
wow, look at you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're that hard to. I know that their differential isn't great, and I understand they had a bad loss a couple of weeks ago.
An awful loss against the Cowboys.
Yeah, they did. I mean, listen, that happens. Good teams have bad losses.
At home, though.
I understand. But they bounced back, were great last week at home on Thanksgiving. I just think it's a tall task. I'm not saying this will be a huge task for Sauce Gardner. They're going to get tested. And also, can the Jets score on Minnesota? I mean, last week they were great against the Bears. Can they do it again against the Vikings?
Also, the Viking defense, Peter, I mean, it kind of made Mac Jones look like a really good quarterback. He looked like a really good quarterback yesterday. They wouldn't even try anything with him. He had a scream at the sideline.
No, he looked terrible yesterday.
They kind of remind me, because we were talking about like bad defenses that won Super Bowls, they kind of remind me of those Giant teams. Like, statistically, they're not great, but they do get after the quarterback. So that can change the game, too. I think it's an intriguing game to me. I can see the Jets getting up from a loss, really, the next couple of weeks, because on the horizon, home game is against the Lions and the Jaguars. Now, I know the Lions are better, guys, but the Lions can't afford to lose another game. So between now and when they play Detroit at home, the Lions could be out of it. And then the Jaguars, too. So you have, I think, two very winnable games in your own building to get to 9. And they've already beaten Buffalo. Now, do I think they can do it again in Buffalo? That's a tall order. Can they beat Miami in Miami? That's going to be tough. But the Giants, how do they get up from a loss this Sunday? A third consecutive loss, still not having won in the division, having to play at Minnesota, having to play at Philadelphia, a home game against Philadelphia.
Giants have the most difficult schedule statistically left of any team.
honestly, because I'm still leaning towards that Giant team that may not win another game after they lost to Detroit.
So you think Washington, you like Washington this Sunday? I know who you're rooting
for. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that this is a must-win for the Giants. This is a de facto playoff game for them. They need two wins to be in the hunt for the playoffs. If they don't get it at home against the Commanders, where's the other one coming? Is it going to be on the road against the Commanders when they couldn't beat them at home? You know, is it going to be – are they going to find a way to split against Philadelphia? You know, so
– also, there are so many tie-breaking ramifications that the Giants fall on the bad end on. And if they lose – as I said, if they beat the Commanders twice, I think they're in great shape.
Right.
If they lose twice, I think they're out.
Well, if they lose twice to the Commanders, Michael, they're not going to the playoffs.
What if they beat the Eagles once and the Vikings and the Colts?
That's a lot to do. I mean, that's still, yeah, if they can get to 10, but if but two losses to Washington, think about this. Two losses to Washington
right.
would mean that they had lost three straight games and four of their last five because in 2 weeks they play Washington again.
Right.
You know, so.
And sandwiched around the Eagles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So if you lose at home to Washington, now you got to go play the Eagles. I'm just telling you, it could spiral out of control because, like Peter said it earlier, now you've lost three in a row, all right? And things are kind of play in favor of the Giants in this game, all right? They're home. They've got extra rest because they played on Thursday. They're getting some healthy players back, including Evan Neal and Feliciano, that's going to strengthen the offensive line, which is going to be really important against this front seven of Washington. So there's some things that are really working in the Giants' favor. So, no, I do like the Giants in this game, too.
There you go. So we'll make our picks a little bit later on. Now we want to hear from you, 1-800-919-3776. As you fill up the phones, I do want to just comment on the Aaron Judge story by Buster Olney today on ESPN+. It was very interesting in that he said that it seems like Hal Steinbrenner is more willing to go the distance, which means whatever it takes to get Judge, rather than Brian Cashman. Because Brian Cashman operates in a very, very even-keeled, emotionless space. He does not let his like or dislike of a player play into it. When Robinson Cano got a 10-year deal, he said, let him go. And they let him go. And he convinced Hal Steinbrenner to do that. When Derek Jeter, his last contract, Derek Jeter wanted a raise, and he said no. He said, go out and find another offer, and Derek Jeter didn't want to shop himself, took a 35% pay cut. And he ended up signing back with the Yankees because he didn't want to sign anywhere else. So I could see Brian saying, listen, we made the best offer, 7 years, 8 years, 300. Right. If he wants more than that, let him go somewhere else. I could see him doing that now.
Yep.
Hal has to let the voice of the fans sometimes come into play because the fans are so in love with Judge, rightfully so. But I will tell you this. I think teams that let their moves be dictated by fans end up losing in the end. They do. Because fans act on emotion. Good executives act on precision thinking and looking down the line, how that's going to affect the team in the long term. So this is a very interesting dichotomy here. Mm-hmm. If Hal's going to take whatever it takes, and Brian kind of says, okay, we could tap out at this point.
Well, when you're analytical and you're just solely about the X's and O's, then to Brian Cashman, these players are like widgets, right? It doesn't matter. There's no emotion. There's no name. There's no what you can do off the field. There's no what the fans care about. It's all about the bottom line of what goes on in the field. The owner, he's thinking, well, wait a minute, I've got the judges' chambers. I've got a way to market this guy. There's money to be made. There's ratings on Yes, which we own a percentage of. Like, yeah, he's going to look at it differently than Brian. Brian's not thinking about ratings. He's not thinking about attendance. He's only thinking about the actual game itself. So I like the fact, the yin and yang of them working together behind it, where one can kind of feed off the other. The question is who obviously has the ultimate say, and that would be Hal.
Right. And it's also interesting, let's say that Hal says, you know what, I'm giving him whatever he wants. I don't know. I haven't spoken to either of the guys. We're going to give him whatever he wants. Now, remember, Brian's not signed. Does Brian say, well, you know what, I just don't want to be a part of this because this could handcuff us down the line? I'm not sure how it plays out.
Well, but how often does that happen where he's overruled?
That Brian's overruled?
Yeah.
I think that Hal was dead set on getting Garrett Cole whichever way possible. I don't know. Maybe Brian was too. I don't know.
And you can make, even though George was still alive, but I think Hal was calling the shots in 09, I think that somebody went over Brian's head for Teixeira.
No, I believe that Brian came to Hal at the end and convinced him that, you know, we have room for Teixeira on the payroll too.
Okay.
But I know that they were not going to get outbid for CeCe.
Okay. So I don't think he let one or two occasions make him want to go someplace else. If it feels like he's always overruled, then he'd want to go. But I think even Brian has to understand that there's going to be times where an owner is going to say, listen, the guy's just too significant. I appreciate your baseball acumen on this, but he's too big. He's
also
too important.
I'll tell you what, everybody, and I know you don't want to hear this because you don't know him, okay? Hal's a really good guy.
Oh, brother.
And he does care about the team, and he cares what the fans think. And the fact that he got booed twice loudly at Yankee Stadium, that probably stuck with him. And if he ends up losing Judge, I think the Yankees, I mean, in Buster's story, it also the Yankees are ready to pivot, too. So if they feel that Judge is going to the Giants, they will pivot quickly, and they will sign one of two shortstops, Trey Turner or Xander Bogaerts. And the reason that they would pick those two is that though either one of those guys could start at shortstop, and let's say one of the kids, Volpe or Peraza, is ready to take over in July, then both of those two players can move to second or to third and would be willing to. I don't know if Carlos Correa would be. So they've got that plan as well. There's a lot of things in motion. They've got a plan B. They've got a plan C. And they've got to be working on all of it, because if all of a sudden Judge says, I'm gone, the thing that – you know, Buster brought up in the story that really, I don't know how I would approach this, guys. So when the Yankees offered him the $213.5 million before the opening day, Judge's camp's response was no. Not, well, we want this. They never said what they wanted. They just said no. So he's never really told them what he wanted. So it's kind of like a psychological game as well.
Yeah.
And this is one of the few times that a player probably holds the leverage over a team, because the Yankees are the Yankees, and, you know, they let Reggie go after 5 years, and they survived. I mean, they let players go.
They
let Robinson
survive.
Cano go because they're the New York Yankees.
And they'd survive.
But in the
this.
Short they would survive it, Don, but in the short term, losing Judge would be really tough.
But, you know, Brian doesn't live in the short term.
Well, but you Hal know, has to.
He doesn't have to. He
both.
Wants to.
He has to do both.
You know, but can Brian convince him? Is there a world? I don't know. You know the players that are available and how things work. Is there a world that Brian can convince Hal, listen, we can be a better team over the next year, 8 years, without Judge?
Of course he can convince him. But I don't think he can convince him they could be a better team without Judge over the next 3 years.
Well, yeah, but I, you know, you're thinking long term. Like, listen, I'm telling you, we might suffer in the interim, but over the long haul, we're going to be a better team. And there are ways with our plan B and C where we can pivot and still be a very good team. That's why I think when it comes down to it, Michael, is that he's probably more needed in San Francisco than in New York, because he will significantly change the way the Giants are perceived financially, on the field, everything.
I think he's pretty needed here.
Yeah, well, no, he is. He is. But you said the Yankees can pivot, and the Yankees will still be a really competitive team and probably still be the favorite to win the division next year if they make all the right moves. So that's what it comes down to, is if Brian can convince Hal, if he feels like he needs to, that we could be better off letting Judge go for instead of giving him the money that you're suggesting that we give him.
I will give you a couple of instances. Good teams swallow hard and don't care what the fans say. The Red Sox let Manny Ramirez go. They let Pedro Martinez go, both beloved in New York. Just let him go. They let him sign somewhere else. You know what? It worked out.
Mookie,
the
too.
Yankees let Robinson Cano, who was really loved at Yankee Stadium, they let him go. Worked out better than you can even think. The Mets did the opposite. They listened to their fans, and they re-signed Yoenis Cespedes, and that was a terrible signing that set the team back. So I think fans come into play about what they want, but if you can't, you cannot let fans dictate your moves, because fans are fans, and they're not analytical about things on the long term. It's what they want right now. So that's why this is such a difficult puzzle to solve. I think they end up signing him, but the fact that Judge has not, from all reports, I don't know, has not told them what he wanted, you're kind of bidding against air, right?
Yeah, it's interesting that there was just no.
Unless
he just, listen, I just really want to go to free agency. I think maybe that was just it. Like, I want to be a Yankee, but I really want, I'm not going to accept anything you offer because I want to go to free agency.
Then why go through the whole charade of negotiating? Why even give them? Why even let them give you an offer? I mean, if he had said, "I want $300 million for 7 years," and they said no, then that's a different story. Instead, they said, "We'll give you $213.5 million for 7 years," and he just said no. According to Buster, I wasn't in the room.
Right now, again, unless they were so far off, and I keep going back, I keep circling back. I don't know who reported it. I don't know if Anthony can look it up, or maybe I dreamed it. I don't know. I thought that there was some report that said he wanted nine.
I think that was right after the Minute Maid commercial, right?
So, if he wants 9 years, then of course he's going to say no to seven for 213. Like, I don't know. Does he have a number in his head? The way Cano wanted to be, you know, get a 10-year contract. Remember, he wanted a 10-year contract. Does he have his heart set on nine?
I don't know. The great thing about Aaron, and I guess it's frustrating for the Yankees, hasn't leaked anything, didn't whisper to any reporters, this is what I want, this is where I want to end up. He has been a total rock during this. And maybe that's frustrating to negotiate with because he's not tipping his hand. Maybe he's not even tipping his hand to the Yanks. But winter meetings start on Sunday. A lot of people think, and it's in San Diego, a lot of people think it could get done during the winter meetings. Again, we have Buster there, Jesse Rogers, Jeff Passan. We'll have them on next week. On the Yes side, we have Jack Curry and Meredith Marakovic. So anything breaks, we'll be all over it. It'd be very interesting to see if this all of a sudden crystallizes in the next couple of days when it doesn't even seem right now to be close. It doesn't seem to be close. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number. We've got the picks coming up. I've dug myself quite the hole. I'm running out of road in front of me. I'm a little bit concerned. Not happy.
Really?
I wouldn't say you're running out of road.
Yeah, I'm running out of road. What week is it? What week is it?
Michael, if I lose my two, if I lose out on my 5 points, I get 1 point this week, and you pick up six. Next week, we're talking about you could tie me or take the lead. Come on.
But what's the likelihood of that? You're a football savant.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie.
I'm a complete hack.
But isn't it just trying to stay out of third?
But I want to win.
I know you
want
to win.
I want to be able
win,
to play Tina in my name.
I get it, but you've won before, and it's really staying out of the dunk tank.
Which Charlie said he would do for me.
Because it's fun. Again, it's a Michael K. Show punishment. It's a day spa.
But you know how I hate water.
And Don, I will say this. I think it may, over time, if it's over and over again, you climb back up, you get knocked down, I think it could lose its luster and be pretty annoying.
Well, what I would like to see is if there was a way, I don't know if we'll be able to do it, but if you fell from...
If one of us could be maimed in public.
Well, no, just if you fell from like 30 feet.
Whoa, that's not a dunk tank, Sal.
I know. I'm just trying to spice it up,
what,
man.
What, are we a flying Walenda? I don't want to get hurt.
It's like, oh, my God, Michael Kay was in a dunk tank. I can't believe how crazy those guys are with their picks. Woo!
So you still stand firm that you want urine or ice in there?
I never said eat, Peter.
All right,
you said ice.
What? We should, you know what, Michael? We should, because we know Don is a masochist.
Right.
We should up the, you know what? Me and Michael, dunk tank. If Don, if you lose, we execute you on the show.
No.
Actual murder.
I might have said ice water. Like, if it's water that's got like a ton of ice in it, and you're really going to freeze. Just something to give the audience something to get excited about. Oh, Michael in a dunk tank.
I have no problem with ice in the tank.
I'm sure Channel 7's going to come with a camera.
Well, let's be honest. It's us. Channel 7 wouldn't show up if the station was on fire.
No.
They love us.
Channel 7 does.
Sorry. I need that.
Take it back.
That's the one place that likes us. Sorry.
They all follow us.
I love you, Channel 7. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it. I was just an example, okay?
Do you know, Peter, that I walked out of the building the other day,
mm-hmm.
and they were doing a special report, I guess, or taping something on Eyewitness News, and I just stood there and gazed at Bill Ritter and Liz Cho.
Wow.
I said, those are stars.
Really?
On Columbus Avenue, stars.
I understand. Did they say, hey, Michael?
No, they were behind bulletproof glass.
Oh, so that's as close as you can get.
Well, I didn't want to bang on the window. That would have been very immature.
Now, listen, by the way, Don, if Michael fell from the dunk tank 30 feet, landed on his neck, dropped dead in front of everybody, the next day, Andrew Marchand would write a story about how Craig Carton had brunch on Sunday.
No, again, it would the story would be Craig Carton reacts to the death of Michael K.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be a real good reaction, too.
Oh, yeah, true. See ya.
Tweet that. Print that.
Yeah, I don't think there might be much compassion there. Not compassionate.
No.
That's not the top line you'd
New
use.
New York.
Yeah. Or for Mike. I think Russo would be upset.
Oh, there's the article. Francesa reacts to longtime foe's tragic death.
No, that's Neil Best.
Okay.
That's not Marchand.
Right, got it.
Because Francesa will talk to Marchand. Neil Best will get Francesa and he'll go, I got no comment. He will not say anything nice. I got no comment.
As a story, people die.
People die every day.
You just use the Yankee announcer. He's going to live forever.
Yeah, guess what? My fish died. So what?
Mel Allen didn't live forever. What, does he want to live forever?
He thinks he's Mel Allen now?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don, I have the tree up. Do you yet?
I plan on doing it Sunday. Just haven't had the time.
During a Giant game?
Well, it'll be on, yeah. I'll be doing it during the
Does that make any sense?
Wait, Peter. Wait. During the game?
I told you, this is professional Don now. Oh. Father Don. They want the tree up.
But you can't do it. But hold on. So
you're doing it at 4 or before 1?
We'll work around it. You know, I got the whole day off. I was able to get the inflatables up in the front yard today.
Oh, okay.
Come on, this is Elsa and Snoopy. Don't disrespect
the
characters or the holiday.
I thought blow-up dolls. I went somewhere else.
But I thought I had a little bit more time, but then I got called in to do the Ranger game. So I got that done at least, and it's supposed to rain tomorrow.
Oh, no.
So we're going to focus. You know, I may be able to get the tree up on Saturday before I got the Ranger game at night against the Blackhawks. It depends on really how much I get done, but a lot of the weekend's going to, by the end of the weekend, everything is going to be done, including the Elf on the Shelf and all that.
Oh, doesn't the Elf on the Shelf have to come out December 1st?
I didn't know there was a specific time. Yeah, it comes out when I put it out.
Excuse me?
Not you children at home, mommy and daddy have nothing to do with placing the Elf on the Shelf. The Elf comes when he wants to come.
Well, I mean, I put out the invitation, Michael.
Okay, good, good. There are a lot of kids in the cars, though.
Well, I just said.
Let's go to Mo in Jacksonville. What's up, Mo?
What's up, Mo?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. You?
Good. Actually, I have to agree with Don. I would much rather watch a football game at home than in the bar, but that's just my own preference. I've been listening to you guys probably for like the last 10 years since I started graduate school in New York about 10 years ago. So always, every day down here in Jackson, I'll listen to you guys. But I have two questions. One in regards to the Zach Wilson situation. How big of a win or loss now that for the Rams, for the Jets versus the Rams 2 years ago when Frank Gore caught that pass that solidified essentially Jacksonville getting Trevor Lawrence and the Jets getting the second overall pick.
Oh.
And
I said at the time, it was devastating.
But again, I got that a little bit too. Somebody had killed me about like thinking about the future, but yet I didn't want to tank to get Lawrence. So, but you know, is Trevor Lawrence really lived up to like have to have number
one? Last week
one?
He did. Last week he looked like that.
So okay, but remember he was supposed to be like can't miss. How do we know the Jets wouldn't have screwed him up?
Well, first of all, his first year with Urban Bleeping Meyer.
I know.
Let's see what he does with Doug
Peterson. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. I don't know. His best game, but we still don't know. Remember, this was a can't miss number one. Oh my God.
It hasn't been that yet.
And listen, he still could turn out to be really good. Who knows? Maybe in 2-3 years, it'll be Justin Fields who is the best of them. You know, so that's still very much out. And again, we don't know how much better or worse the Jets would be right now. Again, you don't have – the Jets aren't culpable. Is it all Zach Wilson's fault that he's playing poorly? Do the Jets get any heat at all for the lack of development in him? Or is it all just Wilson's fault? I don't know when I put it out.
I'm sure that the Jets have some culpability, but you know, what I'm saying is if you don't lose that game, and I'm not saying they should have lost the game on purpose. I'm with Don on that. You don't, but the fact that they lost hurt. Just like when the Giants won the game, that hurt. That when they could have had a better draft pick. But
oh, that was the
Chase Young, right?
Chase Young,
right?
Who you know, again, is great, but you know, we just finally got him on the field last week. You know, after he's had a lot of injury problems, the book is still very much open on a lot of these things. Just play the win.
But
if
you did have the number one pick that year, there's no way you would have chosen Zach Wilson.
No,
over
of course
Lawrence.
You wouldn't. But you know, it's just so interesting. It's always convenient conversation because when I suggested the fact that maybe it might be a better idea to develop the quarterback than be so hot to make the playoffs this year, the conversation was, well, you know, it really helps the culture to win games, Don. You got to win games. You got to make the playoffs. And, you know, so winning is important, right? Building toward in that moment, Jet fans should have relished the fact that they beat a really good Rams team in L.A., you know, and start trying – just win games. I mean, if you want to just lose them all, and then you lose these games and you draft the quarterback and he turns out to be a bust. And we still don't know what Trevor Lawrence is going to be yet.
He's a big, strapping, handsome man. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback.
He's not handsome. We've argued about this since the very beginning. Well,
I think he's doing just fine for himself. Well, it's good.
But he's not handsome. Those are two different things.
Well, he has a very odd giraffe-like neck. And if he cut his hair like, you know, Don, he'd
so
be
if
tremendous.
He had, so if his freakish neck wasn't the way it was and he changed his hairstyle completely, then he'd be handsome.
Yeah, pretty much you got it. Let's go All right. to Tim in All the right. car. Tim?
Hi, guys. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
I love listening to you guys. Listen to you guys every day on my ride home from work. But I'm listening to you guys talk about Daniel Jones and the Jets. I'm not a fan of either team, but I think Daniel Jones has overperformed for the amount of talent that he has around him, minus Saquon Barkley.
Agreed.
But I think if you took Daniel Jones and you put him on the Jets would be one of the hottest teams in the AFC right now.
Well, he certainly would still have his job. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, agreed.
What's that?
He certainly would still be the starting quarterback. We can agree on that, right?
Well, I mean, the thing with Daniel, the most impressive thing to me over these 4 years, he doesn't turn the ball over like a machine anymore.
Not at all.
They've stopped that. Like when Tiki did it, when Tom Coughlin broke him of the fumbling problem. That's big. So he can adapt. He can learn. He could progress. He could evolve. Let's see. I still don't see the greatness. Is it in there? Maybe. I think he has a nice arm. He runs very well. Seems like the nicest kid. Seems like he could process information. I just don't see the greatness yet.
But a caller brought this up earlier. You know, he is a slave to being the sixth overall pick. All
yep.
right? It's a new regime now. Let's forget about that. How would you feel about Daniel Jones if he was Mike White? If he had been drafted in the fifth round by the Dallas Cowboys and released, and you picked him up as your backup quarterback, and now you've started him over the last couple of years, and you're a 7-4 football team with a chance to make the playoffs, you'd be going gaga over this guy. But unfortunately, you compare him to the expectations of a sixth overall pick, and he's not close to that.
Here's Sims compared to Jones through 48 starts. All right, so Sims had 52.2% completion percentage. Oof. Jones, 63.1. Sims threw 197 yards per game. Jones, 215.6. Now, remember, it's a different era. Much more offensive now.
Yes.
TDs, Sims, 58. Jones, 55. Interceptions, Sims, 55. Jones, 33. Sims' rating was 7.4. Jones, 85.4. Sacked 160 times, Sims was. And Jones, 138.
What was Sims' rating?
His rating was 71.4.
71.4. Yeah, so. Yeah, it's tough to compare eras, but still. Those were not great stats. That's a lot of interceptions.
Let's go to Paul in Rochester. Paul.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it. What's up?
You said you don't see the greatness in Daniel Jones, but you got to see the potential for greatness. I mean, when you look at it, this is his first year with an offensive line, with a running game, with a coach who knows what he's doing. And if you look at his numbers for this year, they're comparable to Josh Allen early in Josh Allen's career. Now, I'm not saying Daniel Jones is Josh Allen, but they're similar style quarterbacks, big, can move. And I think he has the potential to be great. And comparing him to Eli as well, I mean, Eli was a great quarterback. He was great in the fourth quarter, but Eli had an offensive line. He had a running game. He had a pass rush. He had all these different variables which made him great. Daniel Jones doesn't have that. This is his first year.
How much you pay him?
I'm paying him 20, maybe more.
That's right. Fair in the
20s, fair.
I think 20 is fair for 3-4 years and see if his potential turns into greatness because he has shown flashes.
So you're gonna commit $80 million. No. And I'm sorry, Paul. One thing I disagree with you. I don't think he's a bad player. I have not seen potential for greatness yet.
I agree. I've seen potential to
be better.
No, not only that. I'm going to go further. I see the potential in Daniel Jones to be a stable quarterback who could be the quarterback of a Super Bowl team. Yeah. Okay. I have not seen potential greatness yet.
But 4 years, $80 million, 5 years, $100 million. No, you're going to give him 2 years. I would give him 2 years, 40. But, again, I would like to see, you know, and if he says, no, I'm going to go test free agency, go ahead. Yeah. And, but, by the way, the offer is going to be less when you come back to us because if nobody else comes close to that, then I'm not sure we're going to give you that. That's what I would end up giving him. I don't know if that would be my first offer. And we'll see. Are there going to be other teams that feel the way these fans do and give him a lot of money? I'm not giving him a 4 or 5 year contract.
Fans are amazing. He's having a decent year this year, and now they're in love with him again. Look, last couple of years, we got phone calls. He was awful.
It's fans. I mean, you've got Jet fans now that think Mike White is going to win him a Super Bowl. You know, and then you had the Linsanity where he was going to go. Jeremy Lin was going to go to the Hall of Fame. I think they're fans. They're being fans, but you got to be logical. I'm a fan too, but I'm not paying him elite money. I'm not giving him 5 years. Wow. $20 million a year, that's fair.
Let me ask all Giant fans this. What if Don was right a couple of weeks ago? Giants don't win a game the rest of the year. You're still showering him with $20 million a year?
Well, I'd like to see what he did in those games.
Well,
he couldn't have been great, Donnie.
He couldn't have been great if they lost every game.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. But is he to blame for the two losses
they've
had?
We'd have to see.
You know, he wasn't great in the Detroit game because he had the turnovers. I don't know what he could have done in the Cowboy game any better. That pass could have been better to Barkley, but Barkley still should have caught it. But I'd like to see what it looks like at the end of the day. And maybe if they do lose out, like I said before, now you can get him maybe cheaper. Then that could be a positive. And Barkley,
yeah, but
too.
Do you want something that's not good cheaper? I mean, nobody knows him better than Dable, and Dable's going to tell Shane what they should do.
And you know how Dable feels about him and Shane because they didn't give him the fifth-year option. So this was supposed to be a show-me year.
Right.
In the early portion of it, he was showing a lot. Not so much the last couple of weeks.
We're going to show you our picks when we get back.
Oh, nice.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Pick up football.
Good football.
Are the Michael K. Show.
Pick 'em.
Pro picks.
3-3-3-3-3.
It's time for the Michael K. Show Pro Picks, and they're sponsored by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We told you Mr. Bruni had the Bills yesterday. He has the Seahawks and the Lions. Aaron Boone took the Bills yesterday. He goes to 9-4 on the season. Last week, it wasn't a great week really for anybody, but Peter was good. Peter was very good.
Very
good.
Great.
Yeah. 2-1, 4 points. Don was 1-2, 2 points. I was a Zoftic 0-3.
That's tough.
So I'm 17-17-2. Don is 17-18-2. Peter is 22-14-1. Although I was listening to Gordon Damer driving home yesterday from the IABF Foundation dinner, which was great. Gordon claims, and he's right, if you look at the Cover 5 app, he's the best picker on the entire station.
With the Cover 5 picks?
Yeah, Don second, I'm third. I have a feeling you haven't been making your Cover 5.
I love Cover 5. Incredible app. No, I haven't.
Well, that's why you're in the bottom.
That would make sense, yep.
All right, so, Peter, you had the best week. You're in first place. Why don't you give us your picks?
You know what? You make a lot of sense in what you're saying. God, I got a few things I like here. All right, let me just man up and make a selection.
So prepared. Yeah.
I'm going to make a two-point play with a guy you've heard of. His name is Tampa Bay Brady. The Bucs are hosting the Saints on Monday night. And, yes, often the Saints have had the Bucs number. It's been sort of eerie. But this Saints team stinks. Winston is sitting on the bench for God knows why. And if the Bucs are going to win this division and make the playoffs, it includes things like winning at home against the lowly Saints. This is not Kirk Cousins in prime time. This is Tom Brady. I know he may not physically still be Tom Brady. I like him in this spot. I'll take the 3.5 with the Bucs at home as my two-point play.
Love the pick.
My three-point play is
me
riding a team that is hot. That's probably an overstatement. A team that is frisky. A team that I think plays really well at home. I know everyone's excited probably off the Jaguars' comeback win over the Ravens, which is why they're a one-point favorite, even though they're 4-7 and the Lions are 4-7. But listen, this Lions team, they're not special, but I do believe they're the kind of team that beats the other bad teams and ends up with a pretty solid record here by the end of the year. They're getting points at home. I'm going to take the Detroit Lions getting one at home against the Jaguars. The Bucs
the
for
pick.
Two, the love Lions for three. Sorry,
love
Michael.
The pick. I love the pick.
That worries me.
Yeah, Don, it's time for you.
Well, I've stayed off this team, and rightly so, for a long, long time. But I'm taking a look at that Packer game in Chicago.
Go ahead.
And I got it at 3. And Rodgers, you know, there's talk about why would you want to play the rest of the season if you're going to be out of it. They're still technically alive. And that Bears team, even with Fields possibly coming back, I just think the Bears are a mess now. They're done. Packers still have a pulse. I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to be benched. He's owned the Bears. So I'll take the Packers minus 3 as my two-point play. Mm.
Mm. Mixed feelings.
And I like the Jets. I do. Going into Minnesota, 3 points. I like the Jets. They've got the best unit on the field, and that's defense. And I think they will get to Kirk Cousins, and I think the Jets will be able to move the ball enough to be able to hang in this game. I think they're going to actually win the game outright, and we're going to have kind of a Linsanity type of thing going on with Mike White for the foreseeable future. So I like the Jets as my one-point play on the road where they're 4-1 to go to Minnesota and not even worry about the 3 points. They're getting 3. I'm taking them for my one-point play.
Wow.
One point play. 1, 2, 3 point play.
My 1 point play, I'm in lockstep with Peter. I like the Bucs. 3.5 looks like a low number. Saints seem to be in disarray. Bucs coming off a really, really tough loss. And I think they'll bounce back. This is a big Monday night game. Tom Brady likes the spotlight, so I'll take them for 1 point. My 2 point play, I think it's time for the Dolphins to have a little bit of a market correction. Ew. They're going out to San Francisco to play the 49ers. This is the beginning of a very rocky road for them.
Wow.
Then they go back to the West Coast after that. They're playing a lot of tough games. And the 49ers are just 4-point favorites here. So I'll give the 4 to the Dolphins, and I'll take the 49ers playing at home for 2 points. And my 3-point play.
Cubes.
Titans against the Eagles.
Three. You know, the Eagles are good, but I don't think they're great. Mm. And the Titans do what the Eagles don't do well. The Titans run, and the Eagles don't have a great running defense. And the Titans have a great running defense, and the Eagles like to run.
Mm.
And the Eagles score a lot of points in the first quarter or in the first half, and the Titans have the best defense in the first half, allowing the fewest points. So I think they have answers to some of the things that the Eagles do. So the Titans are getting 4.5 points in Philly. I'll take the Titans over the Eagles for my 3-point play.
You know what? It's gutsy. I like
it. I'm going to tell you, Don, you know what I would name Michael's picks this week? Cubes. That's what you're calling those picks.
I love it, but a lot of respect for it. A lot of respect.
Now, Titans on the road.
I also left out It's going to be very interesting to see who's smarter, the pupil or the teacher, because Mike McDaniel learned everything from Kyle Shanahan, the Dolphin coach. So does McDaniel know all of Shanahan's secrets? Or does Shanahan know everything that McDaniel's going to do him because he taught him this offense?
Shannon taught him everything that he knows, but not everything that Shanahan knows. You know what I'm saying?
Like Bill Belichick.
I actually like Miami in that game, but sure, I hear you.
You like Miami?
Somebody had sent me an article when Michael was talking about not loving showers that McCarthy doesn't like showers either.
No, McDaniel.
McDaniel, excuse me, doesn't like showers either.
Why doesn't he like showers?
I didn't get into it. But he does like two a week or something wacky.
What's your Mongrels pick?
Is that what you're calling bear?
Yeah. Doesn't like it, does he?
That is very tough. Bear is very, very confident in the Kansas City Chiefs going to the Bengals.
I don't like that pick at all.
Well, listen, talk to Bear, but he says Bear's logic was this. He said, I've lost with the Chiefs a lot as a big favorite. Love them with a short line. I'll take them at -2.
What a smart dog. And a verbose dog.
Oh, yeah. He's very talkative. You know that.
If I had three picks, which I didn't.
You don't have to. You won yesterday.
Right. But if I had a third pick today.
You take the Bengals?
Yeah. Wow. Get points at home? Yeah.
That's Bear cursing you out. That's the Michael K. Show Pro Picks. Sponsored by our very good friends at FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. I think I'm getting 6 points this weekend.
Really?
How the rest of the guys do, I don't know. I love my picks.
I'm betting you're going to get six.
Really?
I love my picks.
No, I don't know.
And you know what? I got home last night at midnight, and I really worked hard on this stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I said I can't keep phoning it in because I'm going to lose.
So that's what you were doing. You were phoning it in.
No.
I hope they lose.
Let's put it this way, Don. I went the extra mile last night.
Good.
Yeah. You know what? So, maybe I'll go 0-3 again.
Sometimes you think you're giving 100%, and then you realize, no, I got to get more.
There's something extra there.
There's something extra.
ENN, no bigger ENN than before. Big December 2nd, Football Friday, when the Jets and the Giants both have big games coming up. Bigger ENN.
And the U.S. is playing in a elimination game in the World Cup.
You give good lineup.
Jarve, by the way, told me they're not Netherlandians. They're Dutch.
Yeah.
That is what I thought you knew that. I thought there was some irony there.
There was irony there, but sure. I just wanted to point out. I also said yesterday swum when I should have said swam.
Oh, wow, you're a disgrace.
I really am. I know I am.
Disgusting.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.